Thank you, Robin. And it's interesting you mentioned that timing because at one point I was scheduled to talk to y'all earlier this year, and then I think I made up some excuses. Oh, there's a lot of stuff going on elder stuff. I need to postpone. So we did. Robin was gracious that way. And then this date, I saw it show up on my calendar, and I honestly, guys, I thought it was in October when I first looked at it. And I was like, oh, it's August 20th. Oh, that's 4 days after we announced to the body. Thought about calling Robin again and going, I need a bail, buddy. But then I'm like, no, God works on his timing. And I'm like, it's throughout my life. And some of y'all that know me and my story, it's like God just keeps going, I got you, I got you, I got you. And this was another one of those where I thought, you know what, God's got this. Let's go. I shared with a couple guys this morning, and I know as a speaker you're not supposed to say this. I'm not totally as prepared for this morning as I normally would be to talk to guys, but I hope you'll show some grace and mercy on me. There's been a few distractions going on, so but all good distractions. So let's get on into this, y'all. Again, great to be with y'all. Let me just open us up in prayer. Father God, thank you for this time this morning with these men. You have called each one of them here to be here today. Please just speak through me this morning, not my words, but your words, that you would have something just useful for each guy in this room. You know each of them sitting here, and it's no accident that they are here, Lord. Touch their hearts. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So this year's theme around real men are intentional about ... I'm going to offer up a couple items to you guys this morning. And guys, know my heart. I'm not going to tell any of y'all what to do. And if it comes across that way, please forgive me. I'm just going to share some things in my life that work for me. And then after that, give y'all a chance to ask some questions around that topic and also the topic of this last Sunday of our next senior pastor candidate. So we'll leave time for both of those, but let's get into this. So, Dane, you running slides. The first slide here, real men are intentional about being in God's Word and with that, spending time with the Lord. And, guys, I know schedules are super busy. I'm shocked that many of y'all are here this morning. And some of y'all may look at me and go, well, John, sure, that's easy for you. You're retired. You can carve out time as easy as you want. And trust me, I get that. I have 4 grandkids now, a 5th on the way. When we keep grandkids overnight, the 4-year-old and 2-year-old boy absolutely destroy my quiet time. It's just, you know it's coming. They're up at 5:30, 5:45. They're ready to go. They're excited. So Poppy's like, okay, yeah, let's go. I'll work on that tomorrow. But it's not a normal occurrence. And it's something I had to manage when I was working and I had young daughters, and would just encourage you guys to find time one way or another to have your time with the Lord. And it's so important to me to be in God's Word. And we live in a world today where people use what I call dribs and drabs of information to support their positions. I see that with how the Bible is used. You know, you can see a verse here or there to support just about any position you want to come up with. But you need to understand the whole context and the whole body of God's Word. I see it in the media today on both ends where there's not blatant lies told, but you may only cover part of a story or you may ignore a story to support a position you're wanting to cover. And that just drives me batty as well. To me, you need the full context to have truth. I see it in a small snippet of a sermon or a message gets posted, and usually the social media team only posts the greatest little hot take, which is kind of the most controversial part, and then all the criticism starts going pounding, pounding, pounding. I have a son-in-law that's in ministry, and I see this happen to him a lot. Again, if you feel so inclined that you need to comment, listen to the entire message. Listen to the message series. You know, have the full context of it. The whole dribs and drabs concept, y'all, is super, super dangerous. The entirety of God's Word should be relied upon, and being in God's Word allows us to discern the difference between truth and Satan's lies. I got a few little just canned slides here, some verses that I look at, you know, for how I utilize the Bible. I look at it for guidance and direction. Psalm 119, 105, your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path. 19:11, I've hidden your word in my heart that I may not sin against you. I look at it for power and truth. Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. 2 Timothy 3, I love this verse. All scripture, and y'all, I repeat that. All scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. And lastly, I look at it to live in the Word. Colossians 3:16, let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom. And lastly, Joshua 1:8, keep this book of the law on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may careful to do everything written in it. And guys, just kind of a small, I hate to call it a cheat code, but I'll call it a cheat code, of living in God's word. You know, if this is kind of a newer concept to you and you're evaluating God's word in your situation, or if a colleague at work or someone in your neighborhood's asking you, a great default is to go to the fruits of the Spirit as you look at different situations. Galatians 5, 22-23, from the standpoint of, you know, how do I exhibit these fruits in this situation where my brother-in-law has made me angry about something or whatever? Take a step back for yourself and for others. Does your reaction express love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control? Is a great place to start. I know Robin doesn't use this as a cheat code, but I've heard Robin use this a lot too. And it's a great, just wisdom-filled place to start of your reaction on that. And get on a soapbox here for a minute. You know, one of these comments around, make no mistake here around love, but don't mistake that love and truth go together. A lot of times the best way to love someone is to speak some truth to them, even when it's hard for you. If you're a harmony guy like me, which Neil is shocked I'm a harmony guy, which I kind of find offensive, but I am a harmony guy, but I'll deal with tough things to get to a harmonious state, you know? And sometimes you have to deal with some tough truths with people. That doesn't mean you're ugly. You love them through that, but you love them enough to speak truth to them. So the whole concept of everything is love, or we just need to love one another, and y'all can debate me later. I think there's a truth responsibility that comes with that too. But guys, just so vital to be in God's word. It is like food. We need it daily. Ephesians 6 states in verse 11, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. I was having a conversation with someone this morning. If you look at the history of every nation that has turned its back on God, they're not in God's word, they have suffered. And I look at the U.S. today, I feel like the U.S. is continually kind of turning its back on God and turning its back on God's word. And for us to think we're the only nation that's not going to suffer is probably, I'll let you answer that question, but it seems like we're heading down that path. So stay in God's word. And how you do that, guys, it's changed for me over the years in different things I've done. And one's not better than the other. I used to do BSF, Bible Study Fellowship. Any of y'all done BSF? A few? Yep. BSF is a once a night in the fall and spring where you'll gather with a group of 15 guys in your small group, and then you'll gather as a larger group for teaching and go through, you know, books of the Bible. I did that for about 10 years. But what I'm doing now, and I've really enjoyed it, and I started this back in summer of 23, I'm just going through a Bible commentary by Vernon McGee, who's out of DTS. He has a commentary called Through the Bible. And it's literally five books about this thick that go book by book, chapter by chapter, and just I'm slow rolling through the Bible. I said I started in June 23. We're 3+ years down the road in that. I'll probably finish it this year. And I don't totally agree with everything Vernon says, but most of it is really good to look at and help guide me through that time. And I let the Lord, as I finish a book, I just like, okay, Lord, what do you want me to read next? Old Testament, New Testament, whatever. I just let the Lord just continue to guide me in that. And it's been something I've really enjoyed doing. And I'll probably finish it by the end of this year and see. We'll see what God has for me next on that front of where I'll go. So it's just so important, guys. If you haven't really been in God's Word regularly, start small. Find a simple daily devotion that includes some Bible reading. Be consistent about it. If you've been doing it a while, expand it a little. Go into something a little deeper. And then with that, after I have my time with the Lord each morning, which this morning was kind of like a grandparent morning. It was a little early start to the day, so my time was a little shorter. But I also have for me a time of prayer. And what works for me is I have a prayer card. And Dane, would you? It's ugly, isn't it? It's pretty ugly. But y'all, what works for me is like I like to write those things down. And again, obviously, this is nothing fancy. And Dane, you can go ahead and take it down so guys aren't trying to look at all my details in my prayers. But guys, a few years back, I kind of felt like during my prayer time, it was a little bit of heavy on the asks or the Christmas list type prayer thing. So I'm like, man, how do I get my heart and mind in the right place on all this? And so I make myself start out each of those prayer times with something like the following, and I make sure I don't just rush through it. I grew up in another religion that was very kind of ritual, or another denomination that was very ritual driven. So I'm real careful not to just blast through this, but it starts something like this. I'm like, Father God, thank you for blessing me so, so abundantly. Thank you for creating the heavens and the earth and time and eternity and the things you created I have no idea about. And even if I knew about them, I wouldn't understand them. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for giving your son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross for us and for me, a bunch of sinners and a sinner that didn't deserve it. And when I'm thinking through, thank you for being crucified, and this is a little gory, hopefully most of y'all have finished eating, I literally visualize in my mind, and you can debate me on this too, and there's not a right or wrong, I visualize Jesus being hammered to a crossbar. I visualize Jesus being dragged across the ground. I visualize him being strung up in a tree and his feet being nailed to that cross. I visualize him bearing all of our sins. And then I thank for the Holy Spirit. Thank you for him being with me. I need him with me. I need him daily because every day, guys, we run into temptation and we need the Holy Spirit with us to help guide us through that. So I let myself slow roll kind of through that prayer just to get my heart and mind in the right place. And make no mistake, guys, I still have some asks on my sheet of prayer, but I'm attacking those, if you will, from a different posture. And above all of that, and it was a message Neil gave months ago, not my will, but your will in all that. Because we think we know what we want, we think we know what we need, but he knows exactly what we need. And sometimes you do have to go through that valley, and it's just part of it. Dane, if you'll throw that prayer card back again real quick. Another part I love about having this card that I have to replace every couple years is looking back on the scribbles. The scribbles are where God has answered those prayers. And a lot of times, guys, it's not the answer I wanted, you know? But then I can look back even a year or so after that and go, oh, yeah, that's why God answered that the way he did. And it's such a blessing. If you were able to look real hard on there, there's a section for Neil in there that's been on there for a couple of years, more than that, probably 3 or 4 years. That as Neil was thinking about this, that he in the next chapter would be seeking an adventure with the Lord, that he could still shepherd guys and pour into guys. And I'm going to be able to scratch that one off pretty soon because he's entering into that, and it's super exciting. Go ahead and take that down, Dane. And guys, trust me on this. This isn't a main reason to do this, but it's a byproduct. The main reason for this is for you to be in God's word and his prayers, for you to grow in your walk with the Lord and be equipped for the attacks that come. But trust me and remember, your kids will notice this. I'm sure we have kids, y'all's kids in this room from infants to college and other age kids. They will notice dad being in God's word and spending time in prayer. It is inevitable that they will walk in and see you in study, see you in prayer, see your Bible out, see your journal out, whatever it is. And trust me, they remember that. I could tell you some things about things my daughter said at graduations and other things, and you're like, man, I had no idea. So they notice you doing that. And the future impact that has on them and their walk with the Lord and them knowing that, oh yeah, dad prioritized being having time with God, even though he was busy. Oh yeah, dad spent time in prayer. It has an impression that you cannot imagine. So it kind of wraps up my first thing about being in God's word and quiet time. The second item I have for you guys is real men are intentional about loving their wife well. All right, single guys, don't totally block me out here. Just put this in a box over to the side, chew on some of your food, have some coffee, but store this away for later. But guys, marriage is a gift from God that he gave us, and part of that with a gift is we have responsibility to care for that gift. This is kind of the classic, to much is given, much is expected. The scripture God gives us around this primarily deals with having a humble position. And it speaks to the model of a successful marriage in Ephesians 5, which there's some words in here that are often misunderstood. So I want to spend a little time in this. It says in there, wives, submit to your husband as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife. When a wife's doing this, she's saying to the world, I do this because I've learned this humble posture from somebody greater, someone who laid down his life for me, Jesus Christ. We could leave it right there. Wouldn't that be great? Hey, yeah, my wife's supposed to submit to me. Awesome, great. Let's roll. But man, be careful, guys, here. Don't get too puffed up because, you know, you got to make sure, like I talked about earlier, don't use a snippet for your position. Brian, don't go back to Haley tonight and go, you're supposed to submit to me and everything, end of story. You know, you got to understand the full level of the scripture. So then Ephesians 5 gets into the husband role and spends twice as many words talking about the man's role versus the women's role. So guys, you don't get off so easy here, and I would state you are called to a much more difficult task than your wife is called to. It states, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Let me repeat that. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Time for a question for y'all. This is rhetorical. This is an actual question. Guys, what did Christ do in loving the church and giving himself for her? What did he do? Died? What else? Marriage requires a humble person who, like Jesus, believe he came not to be served, but to serve. And not a 50-50 contract the way our world thinks about life, but giving 100%. That is marriage by God's design. And guys, give 100% even when she doesn't. Even when you're 70 to 80% right, you apologize. And I hate to break this to y'all, but next to never or rarely are you 100% right in anything where there's a disagreement, just to be clear. So Realize that, be the leader on that. So what do we do here for some real life actions in your marriage? First one is put her first. She deserves that. Guys, that doesn't mean you don't have hobbies. Who here plays golf? Great. She needs to be your number one hobby, though, if you will, and make sure she feels that and knows that. Second, help out around the home. She may be a stay-at-home mom. She may work outside the home. But y'all, don't leave the whole indoors just for her. You know, I know you're tired. You come home from work. Help her out. Third one, guys, stay patient. I'm not going to go into this one a lot, but I'm just going to say, do you want to be right or do you want to have a happy marriage? Okay. Fourth was alluded to, pray for her. Pray for her, pray for her, pray for her at least daily. Pray for her wisdom, pray for her strength, pray for her energy as a wife, a mom, a worker, whatever it is. Pray, pray, pray for her. Guys, do that every day. Do it every day. And lastly, dads that have little girls, be the example of how moms should be treated. Let her store that away. She will remember what dad modeled, and she will rely on that someday. I have a tendency, maybe it's a fault too. Robin's seen this live in action. McGurk sees it in action. I like to control things, okay? I wanted to control the narrative of what my daughter saw in a marriage. I didn't want them getting that from TV. I didn't want them getting that from other friends' families. I wanted to control what they saw. And guys, I am by no means saying what I did was perfect. It was not. I can share stories of the neighbors came out of the house sometimes because there were things going on where my daughter got her car stuck on a gas meter. Was my behavior the best? Not great. Another story. But again, you know, be that example to your daughter. And dads that have boys, man, even bigger. I didn't. The Lord knew I would screw up some boys because I would have killed them. But be that example to your boys of the way a man is supposed to treat his wife. You know, they store this stuff away. They do not forget it. So those are kind of my brief comments for you guys this morning. And before we go to some discussion topics at the table, I really want to just open this up to you guys this morning of, do you have any questions around being in God's Word, spending time with the Lord, loving your wife well, and also open it up for questions about...